You can't live in the islands without having several scoops or bowls of rice every week. And then there are those of us who've discovered the appeals of sipping rice. Yes, the joy of sake. Now, Hawaii's first sake brewery opened 107 years ago at the bottom of Pacific Heights Road. And sake's appeal has spread far beyond the Issei laborers who savored it at the turn of the last century from the homeland of Japan. Well, case in point, people from all over the world are attending this Friday night's The Joy of Sake competition at the Hawaii Convention Center with hundreds of different varieties. And New York-based sake ninja Chris Johnson has a few lessons for us this morning. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. Now, sake itself, for those of us uninitiated, it seems, oh yeah, sake, but then subtly the vast variety is something that is absolutely stunning. Can you explain how a basic sake comes about?
Sure. The easiest way to look at it is that it's a beverage made from rice, water, yeast, and then a fourth ingredient called koji. Koji is a microorganism that's otherwise known as Aspergillus oryzae, but we prefer to say koji because it's a little bit easier than saying that multiple times during the morning. The combination of those that we, you know, steam the rice, mill the rice, then introduce the koji to convert starches to sugar. When you're making an alcoholic beverage, I could easily throw rice, water, and yeast into a barrel and not get much.
Mm-hmm.
I need that rice, that starch to be sugar. So the koji does the hard work to allow the yeast to have the party. And then eventually we create a fermentation. Again, very basically, create the fermentation. At the end of fermentation, the sake that you normally run into has been filtered, both through a fine mesh and then generally charcoal filtered, which gives you the clear beverage. If we don't do that, you have nigori, which is the cloudy one.
Now, it's a question for a lot of people. How does a New Yorker end up being such an expert on sake? You started in Japan, sort of?
I did. I joined the JET program, which is an exchange and teaching program in Japan. Lived in the small countryside of Japan for 3 years where I was a member of the town office. And town offices like to have what we call enkais, or office parties. And often those office parties involved sake drinking. So I was exposed to a lot of sake, but I was never really exposed to the amazing sakes that we have at the Joy of Sake for everyone to come drink on Friday. I started to learn about it really at the end of my trip. And I came back to New York and was like, I'm going to get into the restaurant business. Please don't ask me why. Crazy idea.
From a teacher.
Yeah, from a teacher to restaurant business. Started out as a prep cook, but then wanted to do sake. And it became something that was very intriguing to me. And then I eventually met Chris Pierce, who helped through the Kokusai Sake Kai as a group start the U.S. National Sake Appraisal, which I'm judging as soon as I leave here. And then also the Joy of Sake that is now in its 15th year with 391 sakes for people to taste.
How many of these sakes actually come from the United States?
There are a few. There's about 10 mm-hmm. entries from the U.S. this year. In general, most of the entries are coming from Japan. A lot of the entries are items that are not currently available in our markets. So we serve a little bit as a test market for the brewers to see how. The interesting thing about our appraisal is that there's generally 5 U.S. judges and 5 Japanese judges. So you're kind of combining expertise and palates, you know, educated palates, but also slightly different palates about what we look at it for. You know, how am I going to pair it with international cuisine versus judging sake as a beverage traditionally from the Japanese judges?
It seems years ago most sake was served hot, but now they say it serves cold. What is the difference and what is the reason for the variance?
Generally, when you're milling sake, mm-hmm. When we say milling or polishing, it's kind of like quickest, easiest is hard-boiled egg. The yolk is pure starch in the middle, and we're removing the outside, the shell, and the impurities getting close to that pure starch. The more we mill, the higher level of sake gets. When you're drinking a higher level sake, a ginjo or a daiginjo, heating it is a little bit of a tricky experiment because when you add heat to it, it kind of takes away the delicate aromatics and light floral notes and these beautiful layers of flavor that you can get in these higher level sakes. So when you heat it, you're losing that.
So it's sort of a thing for older pedestrian type?
Potentially, but the thing is that warming a sake, there's nothing wrong with it, right? Mm-hmm. In Japanese, there's 10 different words for the temperature of sake. You know, we think about the Eskimos and all their words for snow. You
right.
know, we have had that same situation with the temperature of sake. So every sake has its perfect temperature. Every brewer or some brewers might make a sake that say, you need to drink this, you know, right out of the fridge, 38 degrees. Not very often, but, you know, let's say that'll happen. There's others that say 42 is the best, 55 is the best, 78 is the best. So everybody, every sake has its own moment. So when I tell people about sake, bring it home, put it in the fridge, take out the bottle, have your first glass, let it sit, try it at different temperatures. You're always going to find one that you like best.
Now, in the competition that you're doing, we have so many different types. Sake, you seem to be a teacher still, as an educator. You're spreading the true joy, and you're sort of, how can I best put this, drink outside the box. You have restaurants in New York with Vietnamese food, and you're learning how to pair sake with all sorts of different foods that are not standard Japanese cuisine.
Yes. One of the things we can do with the Joy of Sake on Friday, the 31st, is that we have 21 restaurants participating. And we have all these different levels of sake, all different regions exposed. So you can even try and learn how to pair, if you join us on Friday, with the tasting of all the different food and all the different sake. For me, it was always an idea of this beverage is delicious, just as delicious as a wine can be. And the whole idea for me of eating and drinking is that you're doing them together. And sake can elevate food. Sake is one of the few beverages that really elevates the cuisine. And it gets very technical if I go too deep in it, but that word umami is one that we've heard of a lot. Sake has natural umami in it. So when you have that drink that's got the umami, that helps elevate the cuisine. My favorite word is wine is often the diva of the party. Everybody's swirling it, looking at it, and saying how wonderful she is. Sake is more like the best supporting actress that's there just to make the food taste better.
So when you got the idea back, you decided to become a restaurateur as opposed to a teacher. When you got back, were you initially thinking, I'll get into a restaurant that's not necessarily Japanese, but I'll keep the sake? How did that happen?
It was kind of happenstance, and the way things often happen is when I was researching a space for my restaurant, I went in to dine there, and it happened to be a Vietnamese restaurant. And my partner and I were there just to feel the room. We tasted the food and looked at each other and said, Vietnamese? Okay, Vietnamese, here it is. And because of my passion for sake, and we didn't have a liquor license in the beginning, sake was kind of this perfect pair. I started tasting the food and went, sake's perfect. You know, it expands. It has the junmais work with the hoisin sauce, and the more elegant daiginjus are going to play off the mango salads and the lighter dishes and the beautiful fare from Vietnam. So it was an impeccable pairing.
Excellent. So we can see what you're doing coming up on Friday night. It's going to be fun. Chris, thank you so much for being with us today and getting us into the joy of sake.
Thank you for having me.
Chris, of course, is a certified sake sommelier, leading expert in sake and food pairings, and a senior judge for the U.S. National Sake Appraisal. And he will be judging again the various sakes found at this year's Joy of Sake event. If you want to know more, check out hbr2.org.